NSTA reviewer Jacob Lickenstaff has visions for how teachers might use a new television series, Minority Report, to spark debate and dialogue in the classroom.
You saw murder, didn't you? You're one of them.
All I ever see are flashes.
You think you can fix the past by meddling with the future?
I can't save them.
Way back in 2002, the film Minority Report came out with some big-name talent. Steven Spielberg directed, Tom Cruise and Colin Farrell had leading roles. Set in 2054 in the Washington, D.C. area, the plot was built around three precognitives. Agatha and her twin brothers Arthur and Dash were somehow able to see into the future and predict murders that would be committed near where they were. A police division called Precrime was created to swoop in and arrest the almost murderer, and he would be haloed or put into a kind of suspended animation as punishment. Usually, all three of the precogs would agree on the prediction, but occasionally just one would see the murder, a so-called minority report. The film tells the story of one officer bringing down the whole precrime program over a scandal around minority reports. At the end of the film, the three precogs have been relocated to a remote cabin, where it is hoped they will not be bothered by visions of murders. In September of last year, the Minority Report television series debuted. Again set in the Washington, D.C. area, the story picks up about a decade after the events of the film. We meet a young police officer, Lara Vega, played by Megan Good, and her boss, Will Blake, played by Wilmer Valderrama, who wish they had the kind of information precogs could provide. All the haloed people have been freed, though they still suffer after effects from suspended animation. Though lacking precog help, Vega and Blake have high-tech tools like vision-enhancing contact lenses and computer technology that can recreate crime scenes in real time. While Agatha seems content to live in isolation, Arthur and Dash have returned from exile to the DC region.
When we were 9, they started testing us. We were seeing visions of every murder within 100 miles.
The government wanted to hide us from the world, but I don't want to hide forever.
Arthur is there to use his premonitions to make money, and Dash to try to prevent the deaths he sees in his visions. After a number of failed attempts to rescue innocent people, Dash contacts Vega to get her help. Following up on leads related to the death of a woman who fell out of a high-rise apartment building, Vega and Dash uncover a plot to attack a political rally with a biological weapon. Biology teachers could use a few plot points in the pilot to discuss extinctions and viruses, as well as make connections back to the original film. A former pre-crime prisoner, Rutledge, is behind the plot to deliver a deadly virus to a large crowd gathered for a political rally, and particularly to assassinate the man he blames for his pre-crime conviction. How will Rutledge deliver the virus? With pigeons, of course. It turns out that Rutledge is a pigeon fancier, and he has birds he controls via some sort of brain connection. Now, I'll be generous and grant that by 2065 there might be some way to communicate telepathically with birds. But why would Rutledge pick passenger pigeons, which he would first have to recreate, since passenger pigeons went extinct in the early 20th century? I suspect the writers had intended to use homing pigeons, which are not extinct and are very good at navigating long distances to return to a known location. Though scientists have been trying to understand this ability for decades, we do not know how it is done. Hypotheses include magnetic navigation, using scent clues, the position of the sun in the sky, and even low-frequency sound. There is no clear consensus yet, and some scientists argue that homing pigeons must use a combination of all of those above techniques. Dash's vision of the attack on the political rally shows people bleeding, vomiting, and dying just moments after exposure to the pigeon-borne virus sent by Rutledge. Even allowing for the usual creative liberties I've been calling the MacGyver effect, this is a bit much. Viruses cause deadly diseases, certainly, but the time from infection to symptoms is days or weeks. It takes a while for a virus to invade host cells, take over the cell's reproductive machinery, and create copies of itself. In addition, even the most deadly viruses do not have 100% mortality rates. The kind of reactions we see in Dash's vision look much more like a chemical agent rather than a biological weapon. Gases like chlorine and sarin can cause injury or even death in just minutes, and have symptoms similar to what Dash saw in his vision. There is an interesting, almost throwaway line near the end of the pilot episode when Dash's brother Arthur mentions that mosquitoes have been extinct for a long time. With the Zika virus outbreak ongoing, mosquitoes are getting a lot of attention in the press right now. Some have wondered why we don't try to eradicate mosquitoes entirely, since we mostly think of them as being irritating disease vectors. A recent NPR piece asked scientists, would it be a bad thing to wipe out a species if it's a mosquito? And found some who would argue that eliminating a single species of mosquito might be okay, but trying to kill all of them could have some dangerous consequences. Mosquito larvae are food for fish and other insects, and many mosquito species pollinate flowers and food crops, just as bees do. For more on this, check out the link available in the online version of this podcast. Folks with fond memories of the Minority Report film may be disappointed, but topics in the series can certainly be used to start some interesting conversations in the classroom. I also appreciate that the cast is fairly diverse, with an African-American woman in the lead role and a Hispanic as her lieutenant.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.